Hey everyone, welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast. This is episode 33. My name is Zach, aka Milton the Manimal, and I'm actually here solo without my co-host Justin Nemesis Prime today, but I brought in a very good friend of mine to kind of fill that gap and help us out here. We've got Gabe from Gabe Loves 90s Comics. Say what's up, Gabe.
What's up, Zach? Thanks for having me on, dude. It's about time. You've been ghosting me and like leaving me on and trolling me about being on, and then we had to wait for Justin to disappear or whatever.
I know. Well, you know, I can't cheat on him, so I had to wait till he like went away. So and then bring you on. But I've been saving you. I mean, this is really when I've been saving you. We could have had you out as a guest a long time ago, but I was like, well, I know Justin will have something come up at some point and I'll have to roll solo. Yeah. And the solo shit sucks, dude. You ever try to do one of these things like solo?
You're just, it's the worst. You're talking to yourself like a moron. What am I doing? Well, I'm just talking to myself and I'm not that interesting. I don't even want to listen to myself talking to myself.
And then it feels like you've been talking for like an hour and you've really only been, you're like, holy shit, that was 10 minutes, dude. What the fuck?
So, why is time going backwards? Like, this is taking forever.
So yeah, so Justin had some stuff come up last minute, wasn't able to join us today. So I brought in Gabe. Gabe, tell everyone a little bit about yourself.
So a little bit about myself. I don't know. I've been a comic book reader and lover for, God, it's close to 30 years. I'm old. Yeah. So it's been close to 30 years.
And we're like the same age, right?
Like 38? Are you 65 too?
Shit. No. You're good looking 65.
I'm just good looking, period. No, I'm 40. So we're about the same
age. Okay, close, yeah.
So we're about the same age. So we kind of grew up in that same era. So that's a good thing to be able to kind of connect with. So it's been forever. I've been reading comics since like the late 80s, early 90s. Mm. I've been around a part of the community and Instagram since the get-go. Some people might remember me from Torpedo Comics. I opened Torpedo Comics here in Las Vegas. I was one of the first people to open that place up. And I worked there for like about 3 years. I ran their store. I helped run their conventions. I did all that stuff with them. I started their Instagram live sale. Like that was one thing I initiated with them.
You pretty much started all that like COVID-19 IG live stuff that they did. That kind of just like took off for them.
Well, luckily for me, I did it about a year before COVID hit.
Yeah.
So when COVID did hit and every comic book store in America shut down and so many of them unfortunately just went out of business.
Right.
And everybody was, that's what's kind of funny about this is you really kind of realize how some of these comic book stores are dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Like not just like personality wise or inventory wise, or customer service wise, but like technology and sell wise where they don't want to expand.
Yeah,
and a lot of these stores didn't want to do or couldn't or weren't willing to figure out how to do live sales on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or whatever. And a lot of those, using the dinosaur reference, just died out. So,
and a lot don't even have social media influence, you know?
Yeah, like, that's crazy to think
it
about.
It is crazy. Like, in this day and age, it's nuts.
Right. It'd be like these stores that are, you know, old school. It's like, hey, it's like not being in the phone book back in the 90s.
Right, 2000
or something like that. It's like, so luckily, I was already able to help build up a following on Instagram live sales. So when COVID hit and we had to do Instagram live sales like every single day to kind of sustain the business, it was a boom. Like we were there at the beginning where other people were kind of catching up and had to kind of build that online community.
Yeah.
We were already in it and we were already doing like mystery boxes and Instagram live sales like every day, every day, every day. And that, I don't want to like brag about it, but I think that's what caused everybody else after they saw what we did. Everybody started doing Instagram live sales. Like it just blew up. Like it's still a thing, and it became a thing where honestly that was more money making than most stores were making before COVID even hit.
Right.
I mean, reaching out to everybody as opposed to waiting for people to come to you. You're going to them, to their cell phones in their pocket. It was great.
The thing is too, you know, like during the COVID days, when Diamond stopped shipping out comics, it was huge. And like myself as just a regular collector who sells on eBay here and there, dude, I made bank on eBay during that time. And I'm selling like garbage, bro, like New 52. I pretty much sold all my New 52 shit, but people were like desperate for reading. They had nothing to read. There was no new books. So, dude, I sold a ton of my collection during those early days. So, like, you guys being on there and having just a great stock and been a known name in the communities, right, too, which is, that's the tricky part with that IG Live stuff too. Back then was, you know, you don't know if you can trust these people, what's the shipping going to be like, but Torpedo was a pretty safe bet. You know what I mean?
Right. It's one of those things, again, we were well established before, right, COVID hit. So we already had a formula down. We already had like a back office kind of thing down with invoices and printing out labels and all that stuff was done. We had a name. We know how to pack. And that's another thing is, you know, some people just, they don't know how to pack and they're just figuring it out as they go along. But you're right. You don't know, like, you know, Joe Schmo on Instagram selling a Hulk 181 might just mail it to me folded in half for all
right.
I know. Or
oh,
whatever,
he says it's a 6.0, but it's a fucking 3.5 or some shit.
It's restored and it's missing the Shot of the She Dragon stick, right, like, you know, right, like that kind of stuff. But yeah, so that's people might know me from there. Also, in the YouTube side of things, I am a part of the Omnibros Live Omnibus Collectors Network.
Yeah.
Which was like, again, not to be like that person that's like, I was there first, but we were the ones that kind of started the big omnibus.
No, for sure.
Omnibus community groups on YouTube, you know, and that spun out of there. Like, I was the first one to get Jim Mint before he was even Jim Mint, and he was just random Steve on my show. And I got him going into that kind of stuff, and that led to, you know, what that led to.
Right.
But that was the thing that we first started was on Omnibros Live. And I recently announced I'm leaving the show. So
really?
I had to step back. Family.
Gotcha. But it takes up a lot of time. Like
It does, dude.
It's kind of a drag.
And it's great and it's fun, but we were doing it three days a week. So I had to commit, you know, 2 days a week at least to it and all that kind of stuff. And that takes up time from the family. And my kids are getting bigger and older and they need dad. Like, it's time to be dad. Where, you know, they're at that age where it's fun and cute. Mom can take care of them for the first couple of years, but now it's getting to the point where it's time for dad to come in and be a dad and set some standards and some boundaries and follow through and that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, man. The YouTube stuff, you know, I'm sure our listeners, they all kind of know this because Justin and I have talked about it. You know, we both started off kind of on the YouTube region, and it just sometimes it got to be like too much and just not as much fun. You know, like I started to... I remember doing the weekly new comic book and I'd have to like rush read that shit, put out a video. And it was like, I stopped enjoying the book and I'd honestly kind of like forget, like, what the hell did I read, man? Like, I'm just trying to push through this shit so I can put out a video. And I was reading every single book that came out.
Right.
So,
and that takes away the fun. That takes away the excitement. It's almost like a job or like, it's not even a job, but just a have to. And that's not fun anymore.
Yeah, know? Man. Yeah, the
podcast you always gotta buy stuff. Like, it's like, I have to buy something this week. Right. We've got a haul every Monday that we talk about. So, let me go out and buy some garbage omnibus or whatever just so I can have something to show off.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I'm looking, obviously no one can see what I can see right now, but, and I've known you for a while, like, you've got all those omnis. You got pretty much every damn omnibus that's been made for the most part, right?
There was a time where, it was like that, but I've been selling them off a lot recently. I mean, come on, like... It's hard to sit on the omnibus that's $400 or $500. Like, I could just get rid of that. It's time to sell this stuff and let's turn it into a big CGC book. Sell five or six big books, you get yourself a nice Silver Age CGC, and then that's more exciting and that's more fruitful and that's a little bit of a better the omnibus like community and collecting has just changed a lot since I got into it and since even when you got into it too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've never been much of like a omnibus collector. Like we were talking off scene here before we started, like I really just kind of stick to the X-Men stuff because I had every X-Men issue at one point in time. And so I was just like, you know what, dude, I got rid of all those, but then it bugged me because I'm like, damn, what if I want to go back and read those stories? So now, I just kind of stick to like the X-Men stuff. But even that, like I'm looking at some of my omnibuses now. Let's see, which one? Am I ever going to read X-Men, Cyclops and Phoenix, The Wedding of Cyclops and Phoenix? Like, I don't fucking know if I'm ever going to go back and read that shit. The early stuff, the Stan Lee stuff, look, I'm probably going to piss a ton of people off. It's kind of hard to read. It's just
wait. Silver Age is hard to read. Yeah. It is impossible to read.
Dude, okay. Thank you, man.
God,
I hate these people who try to act all snobby and they're like, "Oh, Silver Age and Golden Age is so good." It's like, dude, it's not. It's really not that good. It's no, great it's because it's nostalgia and it created the characters, but that's about it, bro.
There's history to it, and that's important. But besides that, how many times do I need to read a comic book where the Fantastic Four or Spider-Man get tricked by a supervillain because they invited him into a movie set? It is always that. It's like Silver Surfer is my favorite character. Like, right? Yeah. But if you read that Stan Lee, John Buscema stuff,
okay,
it's hard to read because it's Silver Surfer getting beat up by a bunch of dudes wearing bowler hats in the middle of the street.
Yeah, like, the cosmic
what kind of nonsense is that?
The cosmic Silver Age stuff as well. That's always I found super hard to read.
It was made for kids. Yeah. It 1000% was made for kids. These were used that mommy and daddy bought for little Junior so that you would shut up for 10 minutes.
Right.
Right. And then you read it now and you're like, oh, this is really rough to read because it's written for you know, 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds. And then later towards it all, like, you know, some of that stuff got a little bit more mature when Marvel went on, but it's still goofy and hokey. And if you're into that, that's cool. And if you're going to experience it for what it was back then, but it's cool. But don't tell me my favorite stuff to read is Silver Age because you got problems.
Like, yeah, that's some like snobby stuff. But look, and I'll even because both of us are 90s guys when it comes to 90s comics. And I'll even admit there is some 90s stuff that's hard to read. Like I went back and I've been trying to read lately the slowly, like I'll pick up an issue of the Danny Ketch Ghost Rider stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a massive Ghost Rider fan. So I'm trying to read it. And, you know, I like it, but I know as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh my God, like this is kind of garbage. At some points, it's just like, this is just not very good. Like you are reiterating the same points over and over again. They always have like 3 or 4 panels where they give you the backstory of the previous issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
that was Jim Shooter for you. That was like every comic book is somebody's first comic book. So we got to spend time explaining what their powers are, how they got it. And you got to say everybody's name.
Right? Well, remember Psylocke, how many times when in Claremont did they describe her, the psychic totality of her knife every time she pulled that shit out?
Like, and I still don't know what that means.
I don't either. Yeah, she has like some psychic knife she shoves in your brain. I don't know.
It's the focus totality of my psychic. I don't know what that means. Are you in a bikini? Cool. You know, right. Whatever.
So, yeah. So, you know, Gabe and I have known each other for, God, man, what's it been like 3 or 4 years now?
Not longer. It's been a minute, dude.
Yeah.
Man. Wow.
And we hung out. We're out in Vegas. Came out for God. Is it Amazing Con? Is that
it? Was Amazing Con, and it was also you came to Torpedo for the Frank Miller signing.
Was I there for Frank Miller?
I don't think I was. You guys didn't show up to the signing, but you were there that same weekend.
Okay. Yeah. 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 And then we hung out at the Amazing Con, and yeah, man. And then I saw you, and then I've seen you at other cons as well when you were like representing for Torpedo and working.
San Diego, we partied.
San Diego, party. Yeah, you and I went out drinking that night. That was fun. Yeah.
San Diego is the best, like the best convention. The convention itself is everything what everybody's ever heard about it. All the rumors about San Diego convention is true. It is all movies and all TV, and it's 20,000 people stacked on top of each other in a tiny, tiny room. And then you get out to the main floor, and it's 16 million people all smelling like butt and armpits. And there's no comics, really. All the comic book dealers are getting pushed aside,
right?
But the afterlife of San Diego Comic Con is the reason to go. Everybody just spills out across the street to the Gaslight District, and it's nothing but bars and restaurants. It's like a college area, so it's all these like college party spots that you go to, and you crash this party here and crash that party there. It's the best.
Well, and even like the little things that they do, like when Amazon Prime did the Jack Ryan stuff, like that, the cool stuff like outside of the convention center. In the parking lots, they've like renovated and they do cool stuff. So like you can go to San Diego Comic Con, not have a ticket to San Diego Comic Con, and have it a blast.
Oh, you have a wonderful San Diego Comic Con.
Probably better than when you went inside. Yeah,
exactly. You have a better time than going inside and having to wait in lines and that kind of. There's all these like big events that they do outside. These activations they're called, where they have these booths promoting this, promoting that. You can hang out, and then the nightlife, it's 100,000 people that spill out to the street, and everybody's just having a good time. It's great.
Yeah, man. It is fun. I loved it, and I'd like to go back at some point, but I still kind of like these the smaller cons a little bit more. Like, if they're just, you know, because I don't care about all that. Like, all the it's fun to hear the announcements and stuff, but I'm kind of the same kind of person who's like, oh, cool. I will not wait in line for Hall H. I'll wait till 3 hours later till I get the news, and that's just as good for me.
Well, these days, I've done the Hall H. I've been to Comic-Con for like 20 years in a row. I've done the Hall H stuff, but now it doesn't matter because they just immediately put it on YouTube.
Right.
There is no like, I was there. I saw the trailer first, and I saw this and I saw that. No, it's like, oh, you saw the trailer? Yeah. No one cares because it's on YouTube the same exact time. And that's why all the movie people are pulling out. It doesn't matter to them. They can just put out a trailer and it's the biggest trailer of all time, which we'll probably talk about later.
Yeah.
But all that stuff is irrelevant to it anymore. You know?
Well, and you know, once again, COVID has changed everything. I mean, because now you had the Disney investors meeting, which changed everything. You had DC fandom. They had their own thing during the COVID time. And a lot of these places are now realizing, like, look, we don't need San Diego Comic-Con. We don't have to be in Hall H. It costs us more money than we can just do our own thing.
You know? Why am I trying to capture 100,000 people? Not even 100,000. You know, let's say Hall H holds 30,000. Why am I trying to capture the attention of 30,000 people when I could just put this on YouTube and it's 25 million hits 10 seconds later? You know?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, I guess assuming COVID stuff ever ends, it'll be interesting to see what San Diego Comic-Con is like. You know what I mean?
It's going to be a whole new world.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whole new world when this stuff finishes up, one way or the other. Movie theaters, conventions, everything that's going to be different.
Well, there was talk that it was actually going to leave San Diego for a while, to be honest.
Yeah, they rumored to come to Vegas.
Yeah, because there wasn't enough room anymore. They had outgrown it, kind of. Mm-hmm. So.
And San Diego is the city themselves is holding on to that as much as possible. Oh, yeah. They've said that's their nut is San Diego Comic Con. All that tax money, all that stuff, people coming in, that's San Diego's nut.
Yeah. So man. It's a lot of revenue right there.
They need it. Yeah. They definitely need it. But yeah, I agree with you, bro. But, like the smaller cons are better. Like Amazing Comic Con in Vegas, WonderCon in Anaheim, WonderCon. Like Long Beach Con, like the smaller ones that are like more comic booky focused.
Yeah.
That's for me. I want to go and talk comics and wheel and deal with dealers and hang out with friends and meet people that I know from the community and things like that. I don't want to wait in line for an exclusive toy.
Right. Or, exactly.
Yeah. You know, any of that stuff. I don't want to have to spend $3,000 for a hotel room, you know, that kind of stuff.
No joke, man. Like getting a hotel room in San Diego, like good God. I mean, you got to get it's Airbnb, bro. That's the way to go.
Yeah. I have to get the one that's attached to the convention center. I think it's the Marriott.
Yeah.
Because you buy stuff, all that, then you can just go put it right back into your room. And the best is if I got to take a dump, I'm going to go to my room. I'm not going to use these dirty seats that five people have already peed on. Like, I'm going to go to my room that I spent $4,000 on, and I'm just going to just let it go.
Hey, it makes sense to me. So you had, you brought it up. You kind of good segue about trailer. So there was, I don't know, like this little trailer that dropped, teaser trailer dropped this week. I don't know if many people heard about it.
Something about an insect person?
Yeah. Something about Marvel's lamest superhero. Spider-Man No Way Home teaser trailer dropped this week, which, like you said, is now, I heard this stat the other day, what, the most watched trailer beat Avengers Endgame?
How did they... I've heard that, but I was like, how do you measure what's the most watched trailer? Because
it's like, yeah, that's a good point. I have no idea, dude.
Like, it's not just on Sony or Marvel's YouTube. Like, everybody shares it. It's on YouTube. It's on people's Instagrams. Yeah. You know, people are putting it up on Facebook. People are putting up their MySpace accounts again to post it. Like, it's everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I have no idea what that metric is, but it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, we had Avengers Endgame. And then we had nothing for a very long time. I guess we had Far From Home after Endgame.
That was the last one before the pandemic.
That was the last real one. And then, we had Black Widow, which is a prequel. And we got Shang-Chi, Eternals, all that stuff. But those are all new characters. This is like the first movie we've had of established characters pre-Endgame, you know?
Which is interesting because it was also the last movie we got.
Right.
The last movie, now it's the first one again. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, man, what'd you think? What'd you think about it?
I liked it. It's what everybody kind of expected. Mm-hmm. You know, there's really nothing new to it. Like, if you were surprised by anything that happened in that trailer, you were probably just either trying really hard to ignore it or you're living under a rock. Because it's everything that everybody thought was going to be in it for the most part was in it. It's all about, it's a multiverse. It's the return of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man universe. Probably going to get Andrew Garfield in it, and it's all that stuff. But it was fun. You get to see the return of, you know, what might be Doctor Strange. You get to see the return of Doc Ock. You right. get kind of the. I'm more interested in like the story that's coming out of it. You know, cool. like okay, so you know now everybody knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man, and they're going through with it. Like they're leaning into that. So
right.
that's the interesting aspect to see from that trailer.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many stories that are kind of like showing up here. You know, of course, we got the Mephisto talk as well, like we always will.
Oh my God.
The one more day, brand new day storyline, obviously, with like, hey, let's set it back. Let's change, wipe everyone's memory, build up to a Sinister Six storyline. But I actually read a pretty good, like, kind of theory is that, you know, because so. Obviously, there's been a ton of theories about this movie coming out, whether we're going to see Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and all the mixture of all the Spider-Man stuff, you know, and in the trailer, we saw actually Doc Ock, we saw the Goblin grenade, we know Electro showing up as well. But one of the theories I read was that potentially maybe it might just be the villains and not Garfield and Tobey Maguire. And they're saying that because there's like a scene with Peter. So, okay, this is like kind of in the weeds, man. But I found this kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a scene where Peter is wearing like almost identical outfit to Tobey Maguire in Spider-Man 3. Like just this whack ass, you know, jacket with a tie and looks legit straight up like Tobey Maguire. And that maybe like the multiverse is somewhat merged and he's in their universes and his villains or their villains see him as Peter Parker. Like they see, you know what I mean? Like they kind of like, instead of Toby, they see Tom Holland and think, oh yeah, that's my Peter Parker. So that maybe we're just getting villains and not the other two.
I'd be okay with that. I don't care much
it would be too.
About the Peter Parker from Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield. Let's just stick with Tom Holland, you know?
It would be cool. Don't get me wrong. It'd be really cool to see those actors show up. Like you have this potential opportunity. It right. would be really awesome. And I feel like if they don't do it now, like people will be pissed because, like, oh, why didn't you have those guys? You know, but
this movie didn't reach the expectations that I set for myself right, for no right. reason. I am so mad. Oh right. my gosh. But I agree though. It'd be nice if we didn't have Tobey Maguire and all that in there. Not because I don't want him to be in there, right. but we know what happens when you overload a movie with so exactly. many characters. Like, it's either nobody gets enough screen time. Or you spend too much screen time trying to explain and have these interactions that you miss out on the story.
Yeah.
Look at what happened in Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, sure. exactly. Like, yeah, dude.
We had to squeeze in some BS Sandman story. And then because of that, the Venom story was really weak.
The Sandman story was the best part. Unfortunately, the Sandman story was the best part. Yeah, you're right. Then you had Venom and Harry Osborn.
Than rewriting the idea that it was Sandman that killed, you know, Ben Parker.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, dude, I mean, Spider-Man 3, that was the biggest problem, was too much. They bit off too much.
That happens in all these movies, though. All these movies. Every time it builds up, it's more and more and more and more and more. Like Blade 2, Blade 3, they're always like that. X-Men 3. Yeah. All that stuff. The more you add these characters to it, and then you have to spend the time explaining things to it, and the movie gets lost. So hopefully not. Like the idea of it just being the villains – awesome, cool, because they've been trying their damnedest to do a Sinister Six movie since the beginning of the Spider-Man franchise with Sam Raimi, and now they're finally going to hopefully come through with it.
Honestly, if it doesn't happen in this movie, I don't see it happening, because you just can't bring these characters back again, and it would be tough. Like, that's the thing, too, is, like, let's talk Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. Mm-hmm. Nailed it. I mean, Spider-Man 2 is arguably one of the top comic book movies of all time. And that's even in the MCU universe, I would say. That's my opinion. And I'm not a Spider-Man fan, but that movie was choice. That was money. So it's like, how do you recast that character? You know, and he's getting old. They de-aged the shit out of him in that trailer. Mm-hmm. So you want to, and how are you going to have Sinister Six without Doc Ock? So I think you do this, you do Sinister Six here, you get it out of the way, you see, let the fanboys, you know, have their little moment, and then let's move on. Because you're not going to do it again. Like, I don't think you're going to recast all these characters.
Yeah, I agree. I think you only get the one shot. So let's get this together. Let's do it. Let's pass it on. Let's say we did it, and we can move on before Sony tries to do it with Kraven and Venom and Morbius and all these other ancillary, you know, Spider-Man characters that they're trying to make movie franchises out of.
So let's talk some of the kind of Easter egg-ish stuff in there. You know, people have been like breaking down this trailer for sure. So
all the stuff people are making up to try and be true, like Mephisto and like Omega Red's in it. And all
I haven't heard Omega Red in this one yet.
It's everything's Omega Red. Yeah, everything's Mephisto. Everything's Galactus.
That's true.
Batman shows up in it.
So you had, obviously, we got Doc Ock, and then you couldn't mistake the Goblin Bomb and the potential, you know, Willem Dafoe laugh. It seemed pretty, like, spot on, right? I mean, it's like, okay, but I don't trust shit, you know what I mean? Like, until I see Willem Dafoe and Green Goblin, I'm not going to believe he's there.
Marvel's trolled us enough with...
Right, the Ralph Boner.
Easter eggs. Yeah, yeah, Boner. I mean, fans themselves, like, we really get caught up. On these kind of rumors that we make to be true, and it's bitten us in the ass many times. WandaVision, Loki, all the Disney Plus stuff, we really just kind of put our foots in our mouths many different times with these speculations. I'm not gonna believe it until I see it, dude. I'm right there
agreed,
with you.
Agreed. So we had those two. So we got Doc Ock, some Green Goblin. We had been confirmed, right? It's been confirmed that Jamie Foxx is back as Electro. Like that, he already like said, yeah, I'm gonna be in the movie.
Yeah, he tweeted it out and he had it deleted or something.
So that's a pretty for sure. We saw some lightning strike in the movie, which, you know, lends our way towards some Electro stuff.
Maybe Storm from the X-Men is going to show up in this movie. Right?
Or Thor comes back. there was some sand. Could be some Sandman. Might see some Sandman. There's also like I read this. I didn't see it. I might have to watch the trailer again. But I read somewhere that if you slow it down, there's a scene where there's like a shadow back on the wall behind Peter, and it looks like someone with like a tail. So a lot of people are thinking, oh shit, it might be Lizard as well.
That'd be cool.
So that puts us as five. Yeah. That puts us at five villains. And obviously Mysterio is mentioned quite a bit. So I don't know if he makes the sixth. I don't know who does make the sixth.
Vulture? Is Vulture still around or did...
He's in jail.
Okay. That doesn't mean anything.
And you still have here's the other one. You still have Scorpion. Remember they had Matt Gargan in that first one.
Yeah. And they had like a Shocker kind of person too.
They had Shocker. They had a couple Shockers. So I mean, we have characters there. They can build their own Sinister Six. And those are good ones, you know.
Those are the ones you want. That's the major, you know, Sinister Six is those characters.
Yeah. So we'll see, man. I mean, it looks good. I'm not a massive Spidey fan. I do like the Tom Holland stuff, but I am kind of, it does irritate me that in every Tom Holland Spider-Man movie, he has like a mentor and like, you know, it's either Iron Man and now it's going to be Doc Strange. Like the dude just can't operate on his own. And it kind of bugs me a little bit. But
no, I hear you. Yeah, this guy will have his own adventures. And that's what Spider-Man was always about, was he just a, you know, teenage kid doing his own thing.
Yeah, right? Solo dude. Yeah. I mean, he couldn't even get with the Fantastic Four, bro. Like, that was who he initially like interacted with. So
yeah, the Amazing Spider-Man 1 was him trying to join the Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
he even tried to join the Avengers once, and they were like, "Well, you got to bring down the Hulk," and he couldn't do that. So yeah, it's just
that's pretty fucked up. Like, here's your entrance. You had to bring down the Hulk. Even they can't bring down the Hulk.
Yeah, here's your interview process. Go beat up the Hulk.
Right, that's never gonna end well. So. Excited or not excited for that movie?
I'm excited for it. There's a lot of potential in what's happening in these next movies. And it's, you know, again, this is just, you get caught up in the fan kind of fervor and the fan idea of things, but it's like, you know, there's the whole thing that's going on with Kang and the whole thing going on with Scarlet Witch.
Right.
And with this, does any of it tie together? Is it not going to tie together? Like we're entering into a new phase of the Marvel MCU finally. And we don't know what's going on. Everybody can pretend and cast the biggest net they can to try and capture and say, oh, I figured it out. But honestly, none of us is in these writing rooms. None of us are on the sets. None of us know what's going on.
Yeah.
And there's so much potential of what can happen next. And I've never really been disappointed with any of the game plans that Marvel's laid out for us on any of these film franchises or phases. Very true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like we're moving out of, like you said, Wanda and Loki, and we know multiverse is the theme. That's the theme of Marvel MCU moving forward right now.
Yeah.
And this is obviously, we know that we've all heard that Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is supposed to be somewhat the linchpin of this next phase. So getting him here, seeing multiverses, you know, it really opens up and it's exciting. And are they even multiverses? Like now after Loki, they're variants. Like this Alfred Molina is a variant. Tobey Maguire is a variant of Tom Holland. Like, who's the variant? Who's not the variant? You know what I mean?
We'll see what's going on. I mean, they've introduced time travel. They've introduced split timelines. Mm-hmm. They've introduced, in this movie, or in the trailer, it looks like they've introduced, you know, portals and dimensions.
So, Inception. It looked like Inception, dude.
Yeah, where the city was floating on top of itself and things like that. The
trains and stuff, yeah.
And that stuff's all normally, honestly, for me, spells disaster. Like, time travel always screws everything up.
Yep.
Dimensions always screw things up. Bringing people back from the dead. Like, all that stuff always screws stuff up.
Yeah, it's never the solution. You know?
Right. Yeah, those are like when you run out of good ideas kind of thing, right? So, and that's what I'm saying by the potential. Like, we could, you know, see how they take this and actually make it interesting and keep it going. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they did the snap. Like, they did the entire Infinity Gauntlet idea. And
which
I
no one thought they were going to do. No
I didn't think so either. Yeah, and I was like, I sat there in the theater in shock of, they did it. They did the snap. Like, they really went through with that, you know. And just not, but they changed it compared to the comics where there was a long gap and there were some consequences because of it. And, you know, it's all that is just like, all right, I'm in for the ride. I give up trying to figure out what they want to do. I'm in for the ride.
You know what's funny about the snap is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but because I'm just saying this right at the top of my head, the only victim of the snap was Black Widow. Because Vision came back. It was her and Vision out of like when Endgame, the only two who didn't survive passed. And now we got White Vision back. There's some form of the Vision there. And Black Widow's the only one who's dead.
Loki's kind of back, right?
Loki's back, yeah. A
different version of Loki's kind of back.
I guess Heimdall's still dead. I don't, you know, but like I'm talking the big tier, top tier characters.
Gamora kind of came back.
Yeah.
You know, like
it's just Black Widow, dude. She's just the only one who got iced completely.
Yeah. So I smell that contract disputes.
Right. Yeah, Jesus. So, okay, let's move on to, because I'd love to, you know, Justin and I have talked about this a lot, and since we're on this topic, but we got two more Marvel movies coming out this year. And like, next week, we got Shang-Chi. Thoughts on Shang-Chi?
Next week? Holy crap.
Yeah, dude, like September 2nd, right? Yeah, next week.
All right, man, I'm in. Let's just go with it. Like, now's the time to do this.
Did you read much Shang-Chi? Do you know much about Shang-Chi? I'm not super knowledgeable.
I know very little. Shang-Chi wasn't really around in the 90s or even before. Like, he was kind of stuck in that 70s Bronze Age era, and he kind of just disappeared. He kind of showed up, but he was not a legit, like, big name, important, like,
occasional heroes for hire.
Yeah, he had zero spotlight, like in all the way up until now, really, like through the 90s and the 2000s, like he had zero spotlight.
Yeah, I remember him. Honestly, like kind of my first, you know, I knew who he was, but my first like real introduction into him was, I can picture the storyline. I think it was they redid Heroes for Hire, and it was like him, Paladin, there was like a bug character. Do you remember that guy?
I'm out. The moment you said Paladin, I checked out of that comic book. Yeah.
So, yeah, he hasn't really been in the forefront for a long time, you know. I'm excited. I'm excited about a new character. You know, like I always harken back to, and I was actually reading this at the time, so it wasn't so much for me, but like no one knew who the fuck the Guardians of the Galaxy were. No one.
I'm telling you. I was one of the ones that read that book. I love that DNA run of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, dude, 100%.
Yeah.
Annihilation's canceled.
That stuff got canceled like every other month, and fans had to keep bringing it back and bringing it back. And then they did a movie, and everybody was like a talking squirrel and a talking tree.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's everybody's favorite characters.
Like, yeah. And everyone's like, what's Guardians of the Galaxy? This looks dumb. No one knew who Star-Lord, Rocket, Groot, any of those people were. And that movie came out and just blew everyone out of the water.
That was my favorite MCU movie at that point.
I think it's easy to say that might be, it's definitely top three. In terms of like, I'm not even saying necessarily like storyline and like best movie, but influence wise. I mean, if that movie would have bombed, dude, so much shit would have gone away. Like, it opened the door of like, it really gave Marvel and Disney the courage to be like, okay, let's try something new. Let's do this. Like, that shit succeeded. Let's do an Ant-Man movie, bro.
Yeah.
Ant-Man would not have happened if Guardians hadn't been successful.
Yeah, they weren't pigeonholed into relying on Captain America and the Avengers characters. Like, we realize that we have this bench of characters.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And they work. Like you said, influence-wise, not only did that movie actually forward the Thanos storyline more than any other movie did ever at that point.
Right.
But like you said, influence-wise, there's a ride at Disneyland. It was the first ride at Disneyland that was Marvel-based.
Yeah, the breakout one, right?
The breakout one, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it turned into a phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of a sudden, I remember, like I said, I was reading that book, loved it. It got canceled all the time. And now fast forward 10 years later, and my kids are eating Doritos. And on the bag is Star-Lord. I'm like, what the hell happened here?
Yeah. So it's like that opened up the whole cosmic universe for Marvel, which is so good. And you and I are massive cosmic annihilation. Thank you, God, that Guardians succeeded. I'm interested. I'm excited to see Shang-Chi open up possibly this other realm. You know, like, look, I'm not, you know, I know TiVo hates Iron Fist and the Netflix stuff, like not all the Netflix stuff, but he hated Iron Fist. Mm-hmm. But like if Shang-Chi can succeed, maybe we can get more into the martial arts stuff. There's so much good story there as well. Like maybe we can get a better Iron Fist, more stuff there, more Asian characters as well. You know, it opens up that whole area as well.
And you're going to open up more genres with this.
Right.
So it's not just superhero based. And that's the thing with comic books. Comic books is not a genre. Comic books is a medium with genres inside of it.
Correct.
And we're going to get that now with movies. You have superhero movies. We kind of got like a buddy cop kind of movie situation with the Falcon Winter Soldier, but we can now have kung fu flicks.
Yep.
Hopefully, and we know it's going to happen. Like it's definitely in the works, and you can connect the dots. We can start getting horror movies.
Yeah.
So you're going to start getting these entirely different array of different genre films, and not just superhero. They might be superhero based, but the blood of it is going to be genre based, like kung fu flicks, horror movies. You probably get some westerns back or something else like that as well.
And you know what's interesting about Shang-Chi is, like you said, he hasn't really been in the limelight forever, but he has been a character who's been in every single kind of team. Like, so he's been in like the Avengers, the superhero stuff. He's been in like the mystical kung fu stuff as well. He's even been in like the horror stuff with like characters like Blade and the supernatural area as well. So he's kind of like this bridge that you can kind of open up everything. I mean, the Ten Rings, they're going super mystical with that. It looks like, like you said, it just opens the door for a lot of things.
Yeah, and we get to see new characters. And that's what's great is do more Guardians of the Galaxy. Take those chances with unknown characters because you have this bench.
Right.
And, you know, so you got Eternals, and then we'll talk about it too, but then you got more unknown characters like the Eternals coming up as well. Yep. So
before we move on to Eternals, like Shang-Chi, I read something recently. Simu Liu, who's playing Shang-Chi, he had like he made like a Twitter comment or something, and it was very a la Brie Larson, Captain Marvel. And I was like, oh God, man, please chill. Like there is some obviously volatile fanboys out there, right?
No.
And I feel like, And I feel like in the Captain Marvel days, Brie Larson was, I don't know. To me, she wasn't horrible, but she was annoying in terms of like the promoting her movie, and she pissed off a lot of people, like the toxic fanboys. She pissed a lot of them off. And I kind of feel like that Simu Liu made some comments to her. I'm like, dude, just chill, bro. Let the movie play. Don't start antagonizing people right now. I don't know. What did he say? He was like, don't count us out. We're the underestimated, and we're going to outperform everyone. Like we're not the underdogs, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, bro, let's wait till the movie comes out. Yeah. It is okay. Yeah. So
because then again, the Guardians of the Galaxy were the underdogs, and they blew up. So, and it's not out yet, but it's been previewed and it's been shown and there's been releases of it, and everybody is loving it. So he's going to ride high on that train, and you know, I'm going to be there to see it. It's going to be theaters only, right? So I might have to hop into a theater and watch it for sure.
Yeah.
They said like 45 days later, it'll be on Disney Plus or something.
I think so too. The premiere access. Yeah.
I need to go to the theater and see it.
So let's move on to Eternals then. So Eternals is up next in November.
The Salma Hayek movie?
Split the difference between Shang-Chi and Spider-Man. We got Eternals. So I'm guessing you're a massive Salma Hayek fan.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
come on. Come on.
Yes. What red-blooded male is not, right?
Yeah.
From our age, from our age demographic.
Yeah, and she still looks amazing. She's still a great actress. Even in that Bodyguard's husband, wife, hitman movie.
Yeah.
It's still fun. But I do. Eternals is going to be the next big thing, probably.
You think so?
I think so.
This is the one I'm on, like, out of the three, this is the one I'm the most on the fence for, or on the fence of, because, God, I might piss off more people here. I'm not a Jack Kirby fan. I don't know. It's, once again, it's that old, the Silver Age stuff. I've always found it hard to read. I never really, like, got into his stories. Eternals was very much fourth world brought over to Marvel.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of boring. I mean, there's some Eternal storylines I've read and I like. The Are you reading the Kieran Gillen Eternals run right now?
No.
By chance?
No, I haven't gone into any of that.
It's decent, but it's kind of tough too.
Well, same as saying the Shang-Chi is that Eternals is never around much.
Right.
And like
always gets canceled.
Oh, ever. Like,
yeah.
There's little mini series here and there, and there's been some fun stuff. And Neil Gaiman did a little thing with it, and John Romita Jr. did a little thing with it, but it was never. They were just never involved in the books I was reading. Like, they never involved in any like X-Men stuff or any
right.
like, the cosmic stuff, really. But again, this is another bench load of characters to see what's going to happen with them.
What's the omnibus status for Eternals? There's a couple, right?
There's the original one that came out, and that was like a huge, massive, expensive whale book. And then they reprinted a new one with all of that stuff in it, plus more.
Okay.
So there is that it's one major omnibus for
you. Oh, so just one. And that's the Jack Kirby stuff, right?
It's all the Jack Kirby stuff. And that's the thing about this series is what's, you know, you're not a Jack Kirby fan, but what's cool about it is this is the first real book that was 100% Jack Kirby.
Like, really? Yeah.
He drew it. Like, it's all him. Like, there's no way for Stan Lee to get his fingers in there and say he created these characters and stuff.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I don't want people to like flip out and like send me Anthrax in the mail or something, but like, I like Jack Kirby and he's obviously one of the most influential people in comics. It's just, it's never really been my thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, we all have different things. So
that's all good.
Don't pitchfork me, people.
And my idea about this being so big is this is like the star power that's been injected into this movie.
I mean, almost like an Avengers movie, like by itself. You know what I mean? Like with big actors and big characters.
But these are all big names. Like,
yeah.
All the Avengers were not big name actors when they first came out. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. was, but his career was in the dumpster.
Yeah.
But you get like Angelina Jolie, and you get the two guys from Game of Thrones. Like these are like big name people. This isn't just like, oh, they were in that one movie. You know, these are like big name people in there. Like they're.
Yeah,
they're
recent going success. To have, yeah.
yeah, they got yeah. big success. Well, not recent. Angelina Jolie is like a megastar.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. No, I mean like the Game of Thrones guys. They're coming off like recent success.
Oh, in, exactly.
Like, careers, yeah.
And they're stuck with this, and it's so this is going to be another potential of like, let's see what happens. This is going to be everybody's new favorite characters, probably.
I'm just interested to see, like, I guess the thing I can't wrap my mind around is. What is their place in the MCU going to be? You know what I mean? Like, where are they going to fall? Are they going to interact with other people? I think the Black Knight introduction, I love Black Knight first off, but his introduction as like the Eternals is a bit strange. But yeah, so I just like, where in the fabric of the MCU will we find the Eternals? Cause like multiverse wise, I don't really feel like they fall into that theme.
Yeah, they don't have like variants or, you know, different dimensional counterparts of themselves that we've really seen. No, that's interesting though. How are they going to fit into this? Like,
yeah,
is this, and where does this story take place? Like, they're obviously, you know, hundreds of thousands of year olds, and they've been, you know, monitoring the Earth and things like that. But, and then we get the Celestials. That's going to be awesome.
That'll be cool.
Oh man, and you know what? You're an X-Men guy. I'm an X-Men guy. The Celestials is what created the X-Gene.
Yeah, you know, and that's the belief. That's the belief is we're going to have Eternals is going to be kind of the beginning for mutants in the MCU. So we'll see, man. I mean, I hope. I just don't want to be connected to that because, yeah, it's like you said, there's that connection, but that's not very
much.
That's
deep cut.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want the whole X-Men universe to be revolving around the goddamn Eternals, you know what I mean?
Right. And then this movie, I mean, this is the last trailer, but we still don't know what the story is about, really. Like,
what's their
goal and what's their objectives? Like, you know, what's really happening? We understand a little bit about the deviants and stuff like that, but what does that mean and where does that come from and what does that lead into and what's their motivation? So,
yeah. And we got some explanation, in terms of like where they've been during the Thanos snap and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm interested. What I actually really want to know is, did they get snapped? Did any of them get snapped?
Right.
Or was that ever like an issue? Were they like outliers of that? Like, can the snap affect them? Like, I was kind of like, damn, because these are super powerful characters, you know, mm-hmm. They've always been outside the Marvel universe a little bit. And so, yeah, I wonder if any of them were affected by the snap. So it'll be interesting to see that as well.
Yeah, I like how they're referencing the snap as like the three or four snaps that happened. All that energy is what brought the attention to Earth.
Yeah.
And that was my idea way back in the day. I thought that was how Galactus is going to show up, is that that's how he noticed Earth.
Right.
It was because of all these energy things. But they're still referencing it. That snap mm-hmm. is a major thing, and it's going forward. And this is the first time that we're going to see it in a movie. Really, like where they really seem to really be getting into it. Like it was a little bit in, you know, like the last Spider-Man film.
Yeah, a little bit.
But now it seems like we get to see like what that consequences were cosmically. Like everybody talks about, half the people on Earth. No, it's half the people in the known universe. Like,
yeah, we got
wasn't just Earth. Like, sorry, you know, this little dirt ball backwater planet isn't the only thing in the universe. It happened across everything. I think this might be our first kind of gateway into seeing like the larger, you know, consequences behind this.
I mean, we've only saw a little bit of it in WandaVision with Monica Rambeau. We saw a little bit in Falcon Winter Soldier. They talked about it obviously with the what was the gang?
The Flag Smashers.
Flag Smashers, yeah. So that was like, you know, and now I've actually thought that was super interesting because that was like a political, it was like, hey man, now we've got like refugees. Like that was a very smart way to like, what would happen if these people just showed back up? You know, like you have like a whole refugee situation. So that was interesting. Loki kind of moved past it. I mean, they didn't really have to in the Loki series. So
it almost took place before it, you know, really.
It could have been. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the Loki that they went back and took from Avengers 1. Right. So it was all way before that. The only thing we saw about it is when he watched himself die. Like he saw, you know, the real. So, but yeah, but all that's Earth.
Yeah,
Earth,
you're right.
Earth. Now let's see, you know, because Captain Marvel mentioned like this is galaxy wide. So let's see what that kind of happens. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it'll be good, man. I'm excited. It's definitely the one I'm kind of the least excited for. Maybe I don't know if that's true. It's the one that I just don't know the most. Like, obviously, Shang-Chi is like an origin story. So it's like, cool. I know what that's going to be. It's going to be a cool origin story. Kung Fu, badass. Spider-Man should be pretty sick. And the Eternals is like, yeah, I'm excited. But I also, like you said, saw the preview. And I'm still like, okay, well, what the fuck am I going to be watching here?
That's what's exciting about it. Is I'm going in there with like zero frame of reference, to be honest. Like, I don't know. I don't think I've ever really read much of an Eternals comic book. Like, the game and stuff. And one or two Jack Kirby stuff, but I'm not going in there with like the fanboy luggage like everybody else does. Like, oh, they're doing that wrong. Like, Selma Hayek's character was really a man, or you know, any of that stuff. So I'm going there and I'm just going to buckle in and see where they take us.
Hey, that's the plus about like these minor kind of characters like that, you know, like no one really has much stake invested. Like I think you'd be pretty surprised if you talked to someone, they're like, oh yeah, Eternals is my favorite characters of all time. Because if they are, I'd be like, damn, that kind of really sucks because they're never around. When you're just rereading shit for like decades, like,
oh, your favorite character, oh, you got all 15 issues that they've ever produced of that run, like,
right? So, but yeah, you can definitely play with them a little bit more than like some of these established characters without pissing off, like we said, the toxicos, as we like to say in the El Paso. But so that's kind of like our movie news or movie discussion. I did have one little news article real quick, kind of interesting. I feel like Justin and I were talking about this, but supposedly Disney Plus is going to have a Halloween special where they might be introducing Marvel's Werewolf by Night. So they're looking to cast a Latino character as the lead in the Disney Plus Halloween special. A lot of people obviously know. Yeah, you in?
I'm in.
A lot of people know Jack Russell is like the quintessential original Werewolf by Night. Actually, quintessential is not really a word you should be using for a character like Werewolf.
Nobody knows him.
Exactly. So, but if I don't know if you read it, I read this little issue, mini series, the newest Werewolf by Night. They introduced Jake Gomez, who was a Native American, new character, Hopi Native American tribe, and like the new Werewolf by Night. Written by a Taboo from Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, okay. No, I was reading like, that though, but awesome.
It was decent, man. It was like a 5-issue miniseries, and it's cool, man. Like we talked about horror, you know, and the supernatural. Like, get them all, dude. Let's start doing Midnight Suns. Let's start doing a look. My thing about Marvel is the MCU. You got your superhero, your Avenger stuff. That's mm-hmm. awesome. You got your cosmic stuff. Let's play with it. We're gonna have our X-Men, our mutants. Let's do that. Fantastic Four gonna bleed with the cosmic and the superhero. It's like a cross. And then let's do supernatural, which is Ghost Rider, Blade, Werewolf by Night, all those characters. Doctor Strange can come back and forth with that as well. Like you said, dude, genres within the MCU, and maybe we move on from this whole need to like have these massive crossovers. You know, like I don't need to see another Avengers Infinity War Endgame with every single goddamn character.
No, we don't need another 10-year story arc. Let's just kind of just get it kind of going and move it along and keep it happening.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, again, see horror. Let's see Werewolf by Night. Yeah, let's see Blade. Let's see all these characters kind of come to fruition. Let's get, you know, Daredevil and have some like some kind of crime street level noir.
Right.
Kind of
Heroes story, for Hire shit. Yeah.
This has some smaller stories involved with it too.
Yep. Cool, man. So we always like to finish out by talking about like what we're currently reading. So, you know, just kind of tell the listeners here what anything current you're reading, if you're reading anything old, or any kind of like suggestions on stuff that you think people should be reading right now.
I'm not reading a lot of current right now. I am in the process of trying to get all the issues for Robert Kirkman and Chris Samnee's Firepower.
Okay.
I have the first trade paperback when that first came out, which was like the first issue. Like they did their first issue. It's like 120-page trade paperback. And I'm really, really wishy-washy with Robert Kirkman. Like really, really wishy-washy. He's very,
some
very
stiff hits and some doesn't.
It's more miss than hit with me. Yeah. Like way more miss than hit with me. Like the greatest thing he's ever done was Invincible. Even Walking Dead, like I loved it up until like issue 50, like after the prison stuff, the series probably could have ended. But you know, wishy-washy. But Firepower is the Chris Samnee show. I'm in it for the Chris Samnee art. It's beautiful, amazing art. I'm in it for the ninja fighting and stuff like that. So I'm in the process of collecting that to try and get a read going with that. But what I have been reading is I fell into a Frank Miller hole. Like, what? I don't know. I stepped into this Frank Miller hole.
Would you do start doing blow? Because that's like right up Frank Miller's.
I was doing blow. I'm beating up prostitutes. Like, I was like, oh. But no, I fell into his run on Daredevil.
Okay.
Like all of his runs. This is what's really interesting about Frank Miller. People might have their detraction about Frank Miller, the person. That's fine. But Frank Miller, the creator. How many times can somebody take a bite out of the apple and have it be quintessential, to use that word again, quintessential and important to that character?
Very true.
He did it with Daredevil like three different times. Like his original run on Daredevil is one of the only true must read Daredevil runs there is. Then he comes back and he does, and I was reading this recently, Man Without Fear with John Romita Jr. Another bite of the apple where he rewrites the history and the origin of Daredevil. Then he goes, this is before that, but then he does Born Again. And Born Again is just the most just dirty, grimy, scummy, sad storyline that you're ever going to read for Daredevil, where Kingpin, well, Karen Page, spoilers, is super strung out on heroin and she sells Matt Murdock's secret identity for some drugs. Wow. And that just goes into this downward spiral where Kingpin gets that information and ruins Matt Murdock, the person, ruins his life, ruins his career, blows up his house. He's homeless, living on the street. He's going crazy, thinking all of his friends are against him. He's breaking him as an individual and as a person.
Yeah.
So to see somebody like Frank Miller take all these different bites out of the apple, I can't think of any other character that's had creators do that on multiple different occasions. Mm-hmm. And Frank Miller's done that again with Batman. Like, he did that with Dark Knight.
Right.
He did that with Year One. Like, every time he takes a bite out of these apples, like, he's really leaving marks and changing the character, adding spokes to the wheel, and making them who they are now. So I've really been getting into that, this Daredevil run, especially that Born Again stuff is really sad and depressing. And I thought this was going to be the next step of the Netflix series, that they were going to lead into this.
Yeah.
But it's, if no one's read it, it, you definitely have to hunt down the trade paperback. The singles are super affordable. They should be way more. Just to throw it out there, where is it? I had it here. I'm going to throw out this the issue numbers for everybody. So if you need, you need to read this, everybody. It's Daredevil 228 through 233.
That's volume one, obviously.
That's volume one. Yes, obviously volume one. Born Again, it is, again, just the quintessential story of Matt Murdock, Daredevil, being broken apart and coming back together. All the best Daredevil books is him not as Daredevil. Like, yeah. It's him as Matt Murdock. Same thing with Man Without Fear. He's not even in the suit until the very end. Born Again, he's not even in the suit. He is just going through all kinds of just misery and torment. And it's great
that,
to see
that's always Daredevil. That is. Catholic guilt and like, yeah.
Yeah, and then that dude is just the biggest just womanizer all in comic books. Like, that guy is just laying pipe, dude.
Yeah, the Chip Zdarsky run right now is really awesome too.
I've been hearing great stuff about
it. It's good. It's really good. And I've never been like a massive Chip Zdarsky fan. I've never been not a fan of Chip Zdarsky, but like this run, I was like, damn, you are writing the shit out of some Daredevil right now.
I haven't heard anything about Daredevil in a long time. I, you know, the Charles Soule stuff like was kind of, you know, just there. But like hype wise, I haven't heard anything big about Daredevil up until Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah.
It's been like Bendis, Brubaker, and then kind of crickets, a little bit of Mark Waid. And then just Chip Zdarsky, it's everywhere.
Yeah, he's doing good. Yeah,
he's leaving it. He's ending it soon too.
Oh, is he? I didn't read. Yeah. I didn't know that. That sucks.
Issue, but
I
mean, that's 30, good. 536. Yeah.
See, I like that though. I like. I've said that a million times. Like, I like stories that end. I don't want this ongoing, blah blah blah. Like, wrap it up. That makes me know that you had a plan in mind. Mm-hmm. You're going to take your character arc to where you're going to, and then you know what. Let's see Chip Zdarsky take on another character and crush it. You know, like, not to go down a rabbit hole here, but it's kind of like, we've talked about this a couple of times on the previous episodes with Donny Cates. Obviously, people might hate this, but he's going to end up being, or he is as of now, the quintessential Venom writer right now. Yeah.
Name another Venom run that anybody cares about.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so then you're going to have him go to Hulk, and you have Al Ewing, who just crushed Hulk, Immortal Hulk, yep. And they're swapping places. Like, I'm super excited about that.
So. No, I agree. I agree. The idea of you have a storyline, you're done. You're not going to overstay your welcome and drag this book through hills and valleys and stuff like that. Because that happens where you stay on too long and there's a dip in quality and then something bumps back up and there's a dip in quality. Just end on a high note. Do what you got to write and then go through it. And then again, give somebody else a chance.
Dude, 50 issues should be like a max run for writers. Like, if you're writing more than 50 issues, you probably overstayed your welcome a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not everybody can be Chris Claremont or Peter David.
Right. Exactly. You know?
So,
well, cool, man. Those are good reads to suggest to people. Man, so that you just set me up with a perfect segue for my reads. So I guess I got to start with this. I was going to save this one to the end, but since you set it up perfectly, I'm currently reading, rereading obviously, but the X-Factor Omnibus by Peter David.
Oh, nice.
So volume one. And I've been so excited to read this since it got solicited. And then when it came out, because I loved early X-Factor, like that's like what, 71 moving forward is the Peter David stuff. And it's so good. The team of Havoc and Polaris, Wolfsbane, Multiman, Strong Guy, Quicksilver. So, so good. Like, Peter David is awesome. And it's fun, man. Like, I had forgot how fun it is of a read it is. And so I'm reading that omnibus right now and I'm loving it. And I'm already like so pissed that I know, because people hated it when it got to like issue 147, I think is when volume one ends with Random and Shard and those kind of characters. Forge joins the team, Mystique. people didn't like that, but I actually still really love that shit. So
I still have those issues when they were doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's back when Jeff Masuda was drawing it and stuff.
Yeah. So I'm excited, man. If you've never read that, and you Peter David is the, we keep using this word, but the quintessential X-Factor writer. And then he came back years later and crushed those stories again and wrapped up like threads that he had left hanging. So
that second run of X-Factor he did.
Yeah.
Forget about it. That is like
so good. One
of the greatest and most messed up. The thing about like with this run of X-Factor that you're talking about, the early stuff that kind of was in the mid-90s. And this is what's great about comic books and what's great about the best comic book writers is that book was just falling apart.
Oh,
and then Peter David comes and he breaks the mold. I love it. And Donnie Cates has done it. And the best things people ever do to characters is they break them and kind of build them back up.
Yeah,
I'm going to talk about Frank Miller again. He did that with Daredevil. He broke him and you know, changed them around and made him who he is and made him more popular. And then Donny Cates did that with Venom. And everybody is able to add like a spoke to the wheel or a rung to the ladder. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic, because when they break the characters and they kind of break the norm and they break the mold. And Peter David did that with X-Factor.
Yeah, and I kind of hated the first 70 issues. Like the first, dude, you and I, massive X-Men fans. Mm-hmm. But the original five X-Men are some of the most boring stories of all time. And then when they just came over to X-Factor as just the original five again, I was like, God, these motherfuckers again. Like, yeah. Okay.
It's Louis Simonson and Walt Simonson, and you know, that's great and all, but it's like, oh, here's this character named Apocalypse. And the first time we're going to premiere him is sitting on someone's couch.
Right, you know? Right.
Like, it's the most, there's some stuff in there. I mean, we get like Archangel in there. And
yeah, kind of there's stuff, good stuff.
That's salt and pepper sprinkled stuff here and there. But Peter David comes in and it's just nothing but the best stuff. Like just that one issue, that quiet issue.
Examination? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
yes, dude. Examinations is dope, man.
It's one of the best things that ever come out of anything that comic books has ever done. I still remember reading that.
Yeah.
You get an idea of who these characters are.
Right.
And the best character that you get to learn about is one of the lamest, stupidest characters, and that's Quicksilver. And you go, and you read it, and you go, "Wow, Quicksilver is actually an interesting character. He's a dick and a jerk because of this reason." And he talks about it, and he's like, "Have you ever been stuck in the line behind somebody at an ATM machine and they don't know how to use it?"
Yep,
that's every second of my life. So you see, and you're like, "Okay, well now this all makes sense. Now I have some kind of empathy for Quicksilver."
Yeah,
and the entire run just has these just great arcs, and then you know, randoms, just like this, you know, things about random that happen, and then that second run happens with the Madrox and the investigations.
Yeah,
again, breaks the characters, turns it around, puts them into a private investigation thing, and just the most incredible just storylines that just sprung through it out of that run.
Yeah, I love it. I'm really enjoying it. I mean, and you have tons of like Mr. Sinister, the Nasty Boys. Yeah. You got a little bit of Strife in the Mutant Liberation Front. And so it's cool 90s characters.
Yeah. And you don't talk much about art, but the art there, you get a Joe Quesada's like a big debut as a comic book artist, like his big real first thing is through that X Factor run.
I always forget to mention artists.
Yeah.
Larry Stroman.
Larry Stroman, he's the one that is
Jai Lee as well.
Yeah, there's some weird Jay Lee issues in there. Yeah. Like because that's the that turns into, and this is when things get weird because it got forced into the Executioner song crossover.
Yeah,
that's the Jay Lee stuff. But that stuff is like, that is nightmare fuel. Like you'll never see a scarier looking Wolverine, Archangel, and Cable than how Jay Lee drew them back then.
So if you guys don't know what we're talking about, go out and try to find it online. X Factor number 87. It's the title of the story is called Examinations, and it's basically like a therapy session with every member of X Factor, and it's gold. It's so good. Definitely check that issue out.
I think it takes place after Executioner's Song.
No.
Well, no, it's definitely past Executioner's Song, but I think it's whatever. Some big event happened, and then this is them going to therapy.
Shattershot takes place first, and then I'm not quite there. I'm actually right at where Shattershot is going on right now.
Okay.
So I'll have to check on that. I can't remember.
Yeah, but just that they're going to like a crisis therapy session.
Yeah,
and it's just you get to understand and learn who these characters are. You don't get it. It's a one shot. It's a one and done issue.
Right.
You could just read it and then not have to continue on, but you would want to because you're going to really fall in love with the characters.
Yeah. So that's kind of like my something I'm reading right now. But then out of new books that came out, I have two that I wanted to talk about. The first one, Darkhawk number one came out. So if you guys didn't pick this up, I would suggest picking it up. There's a new Darkhawk, new character, new version of Darkhawk. And I'm actually a pretty big Darkhawk fan. Classic 90s guy as well.
Also, you're the guy.
Well, I'm not the guy until after like the Annihilation, the Raptors stuff. Once they brought in like the Raptors, that's when he got like super interesting and cool. So I liked it. Darkhawk 1 was pretty dope. Check that one out. And then the other one I really liked, and maybe this is because I'm watching Titans right now, and you know, it's very like Jason Todd, Red Hood stuff going on. But the new issue of Robin, which was what, issue 5? Robin issue 5 has a super cool like couple panels between Damian interacting with Nightwing, Tim Drake, Red Hood, spoiler. And it's awesome. I thought it was very poignant. I thought it was like really, really like the conversations he has with these characters and like their relationship with each other was awesome. So check that one out as well. Really good issue, Robin number 5. So that's all we got for what we're currently reading. Gonna go ahead and wrap it up. First, I want to say thanks, Gabe, for jumping in. You've been kind of like my ace in the hole that I've been planning. I was like, okay. And I think I told you that. I was like, dude, I want to have you on the show, but I'm kind of saving you because I know Justin's going to have to like dip at some point. So
I'll be there, man. I'll fill the seat anytime you need to, you know, just take off.
And we'll have you on sometime with both of us as well.
That'd be fun.
Something when we have like a really, really good topic, dude, maybe after one of these movies comes out, we'll have you jump on and like,
yeah.
And we'll talk about it.
Because me and Justin we've had run-ins with each other, but I don't think he knows who I am and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, you guys have been interacting during like the Whatnot stuff lately more so.
Yeah, I bought stuff from him. He's bought stuff from me, but I don't think he knows like, oh, I'm that Gabe that, you know, that you know from Torpedo.
Right.
And stuff, you know?
Yeah, man. So once again, Gabe, let everyone know where they can find you on like Instagram and social media and whatnot.
Yeah, you guys can hit me up Instagram, Ninja Comics _. I know the _ there is stupid, but some jerk is squatting on actual Ninja Comics. Ninja Comics _ on Instagram. I mentioned Whatnot. I do sell on Whatnot. It's also as Ninja Comics because ninjas make everything better. So I've been selling a bunch of cool books under. I had a huge Spawn sale recently where it was nothing. It was just Spawn. And I didn't realize that there were some crazy Spawn collectors out there who just gobbled up all my Spawn books. So.
Dude. So yeah. And also side note, if you guys are looking for like omnibuses and collected editions, you want to follow Gabe on Whatnot. Cause he's going to be pushing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
He's got time for me to move everything. Yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, that's where you guys can hit me up, man. It'd be great.
Cool. Well, thanks again, man, for coming on. And thank you. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll check you out next week or so. So, sweet. Talk to you guys later. Peace.